The intentional decline. The fall of the dollar isn't a failure. It's an event, a calculated phase shift, not the result of mismanagement, but the result of quiet strategic surrender. This is not a system spiraling out of control. It is a system evolving toward a new form of control. The U.S. didn't accidentally lose track of its gold reserves. It didn't forget how to regulate its own currency. It didn't simply get outpaced by innovation. These were choices, precise, deliberate, and cloaked in the language of inevitability. Choices made not in the name of the people, but in the name of preservation. Not of democracy, but of dominion. And so, the dollar begins to unravel, not with a bang, but with a nod. A subtle acknowledgement that the game has changed, that fiat as we knew it had run its course. The decision was made not in Congress, but in conference rooms. Not voted upon, but simulated, modeled, predicted. The world will not witness a sudden collapse. It will witness a controlled demolition. The question isn't when the dollar fell. The question is, when did they stop trying to save it? The death of the reserve. Once upon a time, the dollar was weighty, tethered to gold, to oil, to labor. But today it floats, not because it is free, but because it is unanchored. Detached from any underlying value, it persists by force of habit. It moves not because it must, but because nothing has yet replaced it. The reserve status remains in title only. Central banks continue to stockpile dollars out of convenience, not conviction. They speak in whispers about diversification, while their hands quietly shift into gold, into digital assets, into bilateral trade agreements that no longer need the greenback. Diversification in this context is not prudence, it is doubt, dressed in diplomacy. The petrodollar, the backbone of 20th century American supremacy, is eroding. The deals that once propped it up, made in deserts under dim chandeliers, are being rewritten. Oil is being priced in yuan. Gold is being traded in rubles. Bitcoin is being hoarded by banks who once dismissed it. The dollar is not dying because it failed. It is dying because it succeeded. Too much, too fast, too far. And now the world is learning how to live without it. Enter the corporate cartel. And so, as governments scramble to respond, corporations wait patiently with answers. Not just products. Not just services, systems, alternatives, currencies, platforms, economies. Gold and Bitcoin have emerged as the twin altars of the new monetary religion, not because they are morally superior, but because they are mathematically inevitable. Scarcity cannot be printed, trust cannot be decreed, and so value retreats to that which cannot lie. But here's the twist. These assets are not in the hands of the people. They are in vaults, in cold wallets, in institutional portfolios. The same corporations that rode the final wave of the dollar's dominance are now positioned to define what comes next. When the new standard arrives, pegged to something real, something finite, it will be the corporations who hold the keys, not the states. And the governments? They will not fight it. They will endorse it. They will be invited to the table, not as equals, but as guests. And they will accept. Because not accepting would mean exclusion, irrelevance. The era of national sovereignty is giving way to corporate dominion, a new aristocracy draped in logos, not flags, the illusion of liberation. Then the most elegant trick of all, the illusion of emancipation. As systems strain and collapse, a new offering will arrive, universal basic income, branded as fairness, marketed as compassion. It will arrive just in time, soft, smooth, convenient. A frictionless stipend to silence the chaos. Not a gift, but a subscription. Not freedom, but sedation. The money will be programmable, conditional, revocable, wrapped in layers of compliance and wrapped again in sleek UI. The age of bureaucracy will be replaced by the age of algorithmic justice, and the people will cheer. Because the instability was unbearable. Because order feels like safety. Because the alternative is an abyss, and the abyss has no refund policy. In that moment, Orwell's shadow darkens. The boot doesn't stomp, it whispers, it recommends, it nudges. The telescreen no longer watches, it listens, and it learns. The Ministry of Truth becomes a terms of service agreement. And we scroll to the bottom, click accept, and breathe a sigh of relief. Not because we were fooled, but because we were tired. Post-democracy. This is not the decline of America. It is the transmutation of America. From a sovereign state to a sovereign brand. From representative democracy to subscription-based governance. The new geography is not land, but access. The border is no longer the wall, it is the login screen. and the real passport is your wallet. Verified. Compliant. Scored. Citizenship becomes customer support. Rights become features. Freedom becomes a tiered plan, and every upgrade is gated by agreement. And yet the most poetic irony of all is this. The people will believe they chose it. And perhaps they did, but only within the bounds of an interface engineered to guide them there. Consent, after all, is the most elegant form of control, especially when it's wrapped in choice.